I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores. Before we get started, if you've been enjoying listening to this show, I hope you'll consider joining our She Explores podcast Facebook group. It's a way to connect with other listeners, ask questions, get gear advice, and continue the conversations that we start here. Find it at facebook.com/groups/SheExploresPodcast or via the link in our show notes. On with the show. I gotta say, there's something a bit intimidating about the mountains of Colorado. The first day when you get up higher is just really tough. And then the scale of everything is bigger. And then there are people zipping by on mountain bikes. And I've only been mountain biking once in Vermont last year, and it was pretty rolling hills. It wasn't anything that felt too challenging. But yeah, right now I feel a little nervous about the next couple days trying to keep up. That's me thinking aloud in a room at Winter Snow Resort in Colorado on Thursday of last week. And that was also me gasping for air on a trail run at 11,000 feet. Often I record this show from a closet. In fact, I'm sitting in a closet right now. I'm sitting on top of my shoes, and I'm crouching in a pretty uncomfortable position surrounded by clothes. That doesn't really matter for you if you're listening, but sometimes I feel conflicted about the time I spend indoors talking about the outdoors with others. On bad days, it makes me feel like I'm not good enough, like I'm a fraud. And on good days, I know it's necessary to get the work done that I care about. And I know I'm doing the best I can with the time that I have. Okay, back to me last Thursday, sitting on a couch surrounded by mountains. Earlier this week, I was on Instagram stories and I was kind of trying to convince myself to go for a run in New Hampshire where I live. Just a trail run in a local park, and I'd been in front of the computer all day and I just needed to get out, but I knew it was going to be really easy for me to stay. You know, you kind of get into a groove. I think I'm definitely a victim of inertia at times and sometimes overthinking doing the things that I know that I need to do for myself. So I posted on Instagram stories, do you ever feel like you're not outdoorsy enough? Because I wasn't feeling outdoorsy enough. And sometimes I don't feel outdoorsy enough to host this podcast. 82% of you said that you don't feel outdoorsy enough at times, that sometimes that voice comes into your head and says that you're not, whatever that definition of outdoorsy is, enough. And as comforting as it was in that moment to see that, it also made me wonder why. I'm not going to answer that question in this podcast today. I need more time to learn and collect stories from you before I try to do that. But I do want to share two women's stories of trying new things in spite of self-doubt or feeling like they won't measure up. The reason I was in Colorado was for a press trip with a group of writers, and it was an opportunity to learn about what you can do at Winter Park in the summer. I'm sure you could hear in my voice that I was intimidated by the activities I'd be doing. Running at 11,000 feet, downhill mountain biking, river rafting, those are all activities that are out of my comfort zone, and I went through a lot of the worst case scenarios in my head. Mostly though, I compare myself with others, people I didn't even know, and probably some people who don't even exist. While I was at Winter Park, I met Locke Hughes. Locke is a freelance writer who contributes to publications like Shape, Women's Health, and Huffington Post, to name just a few. I was pretty impressed. I didn't think she'd have any reservations about trail running or mountain biking with the group, but I was surprised to find that she and I didn't feel so differently. Here's Locke.
You know, I think I was sort of outdoorsy growing up, but outdoorsy in Florida meant going out on the boat and going to the beach and laying out on the beach and, you know, playing some tennis here and there and going for, you know, playing sports. Out here in the American West, I feel like outdoorsy is a whole other concept where it's like mountain biking and trail running, and never in a million years would I have considered myself outdoorsy in that sense. Yeah, until recently, I guess.
So how did you feel coming to this experience where we did some trail running, we did some downhill mountain biking? Like, how did you feel going into it?
I mean, everything on this itinerary was something I've sort of dabbled in the past, like whitewater rafting and trail running and mountain biking, but definitely felt a bit of trepidation going in. And I can sort of like feel my heart beating as we were in the lift going up for both the trail run and the mountain biking. And, you know, I think what I've learned sort of this summer in terms of like moving out to this area, you just kind of have to push yourself and like believe in yourself and trust that you can do it and sort of not think about it so much. Like, don't think about the fear. Like, even though, of course, you don't want to be too fearless, I think it's just a matter of doing it and going for it. Not really thinking too hard about it. You'll surprise yourself.
Yeah, one of the things that you mentioned about mountain biking was trusting the bike. And mm-hmm. I kept thinking about that, like, as I was going down. I was like, okay, I just have to go over these bumps. Why do you say that? Like, what is it about mountain biking that you just have to kind of, like, take your mm-hmm. thought from going too inward to focusing on just trusting something else to carry you down the mountain?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, especially for somebody like me, where I tend to like to be in control of things. That's why I've always done running and workout classes. It's, you know, you can set the pace. On a mountain bike, you can't really set the pace. Even though it's not like skiing where I feel like the mountain controls all. Like, you really have no control. I think in mountain biking, you do have a little bit control, but you also can't be too controlling. Like, I think it's a good lesson for those of us who like to have a really strong grasp on everything to sort of let go a little bit and just trust this bike. You know, they're pretty expensive bikes, so they're built well. They're built to go over the rocks, and it's just a matter of like finding that balance between having like a light touch but also just letting the bike do its thing and sort of trusting gravity to do its thing. Not trying to fight against it so much.
Don't try to fight against it too much. Let go. Trust the bike, trust yourself. I also learned that if you want to avoid a bump on the trail, you actually need to look ahead at the smooth part of the trail. You can't focus on the rock or the root or the rough patch. You just keep looking ahead. Both of these things, they're reminders that I'm taking home with me.
Tell me about the first time you went mountain biking.
So the first time was just a little bit over a month ago, I guess, in Park City, Utah. We started off pretty easy, like easier than today. So kudos to you to crushing today. And so I was grateful because I think for somebody who does come from the East Coast, starting slow was great. I had a great female guide, Sean Raskin, based in Park City. And she just made me feel super comfortable the first day. The second day, we did a fun bike park in Deer Valley, which was fun. Like, it was more of a flow trail. And so I feel like I got more confidence then. And the last day was a little bit iffy. I feel like it was slightly above my ability level. But you know what? Even though I fell, I did it. I did this 9-mile sort of backcountry trail.
Wow.
And definitely looked like at the end of that, when I got down to the bottom of that mountain, it was in the Wasatch Mountains outside of Park City. And I looked up and I was like, holy, like, who am I to do that? It's like, what am I doing? This girl from Florida, like, mountain biking, what? But it was awesome.
Why do you say, who am I to do that?
That's a great question. I just feel like different cultures. I mean, you know, America's a huge country. And I think, I don't know, maybe just in the cultures that I've been in, whether it's I lived in New York City for 6 years, where sure, I was a health and wellness writer. So, of course, I was active, but it was indoor fitness classes usually, or, you know, I ran some half marathons. So I guess it's just sort of breaking through that barrier of like you started with, like, I'm not outdoorsy to, okay, I guess I could be outdoorsy, or it's just different facets of you, I guess. Just, it just takes some time to like discover them.
Yeah. It kind of comes down to identity, like what you identify with.
Right.
And that trip to Utah made you want to move to Utah for the summer.
It did. Yeah. My time, my apartment lease was coming to an end. I'm not totally sure where I'm going to end up fully relocating to. So I packed a couple bags and found a great little rental for the summer and went out there just to sort of experience more of this, like I was saying, this culture out here. It is different from where I came from on the East Coast, for sure. And so, yeah, it's just exploring this whole new territory and sort of side of myself, I guess. And it's been fun. I mean, again, like that fear is always sort of in me. And it's been really interesting kind of, you know, listening to that, but also pushing it aside when you need to.
I asked Locke what her impressions were of the day and the group.
I don't think many of us have really mountain biked before. And by the end of our mountain bike ride, everybody was like, that was so awesome and so much fun. And yes, it was super challenging and not what we expected necessarily. But yeah, we definitely all started to get the hang of it, like the further we went. And it was just, I think it's a combination of sort of being around like a good group of people, especially like when we're all sort of beginners. And yeah, just coming down off the mountain with really good vibes and just having fun out in the outdoors. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I know I went into it just, I think seeing the itinerary, like everything stacked up, it felt like everything was like stacked against me. Like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do a trail run at 11,000 feet? And then when everyone started talking about it, it's like everyone kind of felt similarly about the elevation, about their ability level. And no one was like shaming anyone into like, you need to be doing this or you need to be doing that. Nothing's as scary as
it seems. I know, exactly. Yeah.
So was this easier or harder than you thought?
This is exactly what I thought. This is luckily not harder, though.
Yeah, meeting expectations.
Yeah, meeting my expectations. But enjoyable.
In spurts.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys ready to jog a little bit?
Yeah. I feel like I got some air back a little bit.
I talk with a special guest about pushing herself on a 2-week river trip to Alaska after this.
This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Escape Camper Vans, the largest camper van rental company in the U.S. and Canada. Recently, we had the opportunity to hear from Brittany Freeman, who spent a week exploring the Colorado Rockies with her best friend, living and traveling out of an Escape camper van.
My best friend and I took a 6-day road trip through the mountains. She just left for the Peace Corps, so it was our big trip in before you head out, and it was. I mean, we needed something affordable, and I mean, we couldn't pass it up. It was lodging, it was way to make food, it was our transportation as well, and for everything that we got together, especially with us both flying in from separate sides of the country, I mean, it was absolutely perfect for us.
Right now, you can get 20% off your next camper van road trip by using promo code SHEEXPLORES20 at checkout. Visit www.escapecampervans.com/SHEEXPLORES. That's escapecampervans.com/SHEEXPLORES to learn more.
This episode is sponsored by Victorious. This particular episode is proof that it's hard for me to find time sometimes to get out and exercise. Some days it's impossible to drive to a mountain and get out of breath like you heard at the beginning. Victorious offers real-time fitness classes that you can stream live using your computer, phone, tablet, or television. But it's not just streaming. These classes are interactive in a supportive way rather than in a competitive way. I've been a Victorious member for the past few weeks, and what I love about it is the variety of unlimited live classes. And you get all those things with your monthly fee, all for the price of one typical fitness class. And we've got a special offer exclusive for our listeners. Get one free month of unlimited Victorious fitness classes when you sign up at victorious.com/explorers. That's victorious.com/explorers to try Victorious free for 1 month. It's going to change the way you work out, especially when you can't get outside. And we thank Victorious for sponsoring the podcast.
Hi.
Hi. I'm already recording.
Okay.
All right. So I don't normally have people introduce themselves, but I feel like it's fun for you to introduce yourself.
It is fun to introduce myself to your listeners. Yeah. So I'm Laura Hughes, and I host the Women on the Road podcast, which is the sister podcast to She Explores. So if you haven't listened, I'd love for you to tune in and hear my voice. I travel full time and I'm on the road a lot, and I'm a photographer, a writer, and you can also hear me on the Women on the Road podcast.
It's very true. Yes. And Laura and I are actually sitting together right now. I like kind of want to make a note of that.
Oh, yeah. We're sitting in Denver. Yeah, you just came back from the trip that you're doing this episode for. And I actually just came back from the trip that you're going to be asking me questions about. So we're both coming off very fresh from these experiences, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it doesn't always happen that way. So
yeah, rarely for me, actually. So
to clarify, Laura Hughes has no familial relation to Locke Hughes. But as you'll hear from our conversation, they do have some things in common. What would you say you're like level of comfort is like in the outdoors?
Ooh, I think it depends what activity we're talking about, but just in general, I feel comfortable in the outdoors when it comes to like how I relate to nature. And I always know that being in the outdoors makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. But when I see other people doing things in the outdoors, especially activities I'm not familiar with, I think my confidence definitely decreases. Or when I'm about to go do something I've never done before, I always end up getting a little bit in my head about it and wondering like if I need certifications for things or if I'm not prepared enough or, you know, I'm going to show up and feel like I'm not good enough to be out there. So I think it just really depends on what I'm about to go do in the outdoors.
Mm. So what made you want to take this trip to Alaska?
There were a lot of factors, but the biggest thing that came into my head when the opportunity came up to go, and I found myself just saying, yes, I want to go. And I think the biggest reason why is that it felt like the right size challenge for me. It was partially a photography assignment and partially an experience rafting on the Alsek River for 2 weeks, which I had never done before. And I'd never taken on a photo assignment like that before either, which just mm-hmm. adds another layer. But being out there rafting was intimidating. There mm-hmm. were larger rapids in some parts and, you know, camping in like the remote backcountry of the Yukon and British Columbia and Alaska that I'd just never been in before, you know, grizzly bears and
ooh.
Yeah. And so it just, at the same time, what made me say yes was that I realized I hadn't taken a big risk like that in a while. And when I felt that feeling in my chest of, oh, I need this challenge, then I had to say yes. It just felt like the right thing to do.
Mm. So leading up to it, how did you feel then? Like, and I know you're past it, so it's so hard to get back into the headspace that you're in, like, before a challenge. But when you were packing, kind of wrapping things up, did it feel real? Or, like, how were you feeling then?
I felt really overwhelmed, but also really excited. There were a lot of logistical things to think about, and the travel group that I went through did a really good job, fortunately, of preparing us with what we needed to bring. So I didn't have what I would normally have as an anxiety of, am I going in with everything that I need? Mm. So if I was planning that by myself or if a friend was planning a trip like that, I would probably be more worried about just being underprepared with my stuff, like my actual gear, because you don't want to put yourself at risk. You don't want to put others at risk. Mm. And you want to be able to set yourself up for having a good time when you're already nervous about whether you'll actually be able to do the thing you're going to go do.
But that said, there were still tons of things that I needed to purchase or get that I just wasn't familiar with why I would need them, you know, like little special types of insoles for rubber boots that we'd be wearing. And I was like, what is this going to be like? Like, how damp am I going to be? How cold am I going to be? So I think there were unknowns like that floating through my head. And as I was packing, especially because I travel a lot, it's just harder to pack anyway, but packing for something new, it was a little bit scary, but also I was looking forward to thinking about what it was going to be like when I was done with it too, and looking back on it now.
So what were some of the positive things that came out of it? Like, were there any ways that you surprised yourself?
Yeah, there were a lot, actually. That was one of the biggest things for me from the trip that was super transformational, was that I realized just how capable I am in the outdoors. And you know, I think when you think about yourself in the outdoors, at least for me, when I think about myself in the outdoors, I don't think about myself as having all this knowledge and experience. Every time I go outside, it almost feels like I'm going out there for the first time again. But then you look back on all these little moments that you've had over the years or months if you just started, and you start realizing that you've learned all these little things along the way from your experience and from other people, and just from trying something. And so I ended up being out there feeling pretty prepared. You know, I needed to lean on expertise that I'd had in the past from sailing, to tie slip knots, to hold down rocks for our tent when it was windy. And I ended up teaching other people how to do that. And, you know, we all together, our group, learned how to get the boats ready to, you know, go out each day when we were going to hit the water. I ended up floating on some big rapids. I went out into the wilderness with an air horn and bear spray with a group of women just to go to a swimming hole without our guides, and felt totally safe with what we had. And I felt prepared because I've had all these other experiences in the past that have shown me that I'm actually a lot more capable than I think I am when I first enter these situations. So I think that was the biggest takeaway, was that I'm a lot more capable than I think I am and that I give myself credit for.
Yeah. And hopefully that accumulates for later, so that next time you go in, even though it might feel like the first time, you do have this like built up knowledge.
I'm glad you said that, because I forgot that I told myself that at one point during the trip, that, oh, you know, Laura, you're actually going to be able to lean on this next time and say, oh, well, you just rafted the LSEC for 2 weeks. And yeah, you learned stuff. It was intimidating at first, but you did it. And so you can go do whatever that next thing is that makes you feel a little bit nervous. And I like that.
What were some of the photographic challenges? Like, I think I'm kind of asking from a personal standpoint. I find it really interesting thinking about like having, I don't know if it was DSLR, but like having a camera like that on water, like there's just so many more risks. And so just thinking about all these new experiences plus adding on, you know, a job that you have to do.
Yeah. Well, firstly, I'll say I have huge thanks to my friends for letting me borrow some of their gear to go on this trip, because it did come up kind of last minute. And that was another thing that made me nervous, was that I had this pack list for all of the gear as a guest and as someone attending this trip, but not as a photographer. And so I did some research and I ended up bringing two different cameras. So I brought a Sony RX100 series point and shoot that I purchased an underwater housing for. And the reason I did that one instead of getting a different underwater housing for a DSLR was honestly just to have a camera that was like, could have been submerged. You know, nothing was really going to happen to it. It was pretty indestructible. And so I could always take photos. Like, there were some days where we had over 48 hours of just straight rain at one point.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, at the end of it, the sun came out and it was actually a great moment for our group to like bond. But in it, I still ended up getting photos of like beautiful photos of like the gray sky, and it was super like soupy out. This gray sky meeting the gray silty water of the river and this huge thick fog line. Our guides did a really good job navigating the river. I don't know how they did it, but I was able to get photos of just that like blank space, that, you know, that negative space with the rafts there. And that was on that point and shoot. And so anytime we were on the water with rapids over class 2, I would have that. Or if I thought it was going to rain, I'd have that. And then the other camera that I had with me, and I had it in a dry bag, like wrapped in fleece pants and other things that I brought because I was trying to keep low on space. And also I didn't want to purchase a Pelican case just for this trip yet. Although that would have been so nice to have. But you know, you do it on a budget, you do what you can with what you have. And so I did bring my DSLR, and because there's so much wildlife out there and we had three boats, I really used my zoom lens the most. I don't remember the specs at this moment because it's a lens I borrowed from a friend. But yeah, but I relied on the zoom lens, and I used that when we were hiking, camping, or on easy, calm, good weather water days.
I asked Laura what challenges she encountered in Alaska. And while the mosquitoes were relentless at times, it was the rain that really wore on her and the group. But even in that, there were bright spots.
The thing with that I really enjoyed was that from being out in the elements out in the Yukon all the way down to Alaska, I just learned how adaptable I actually am. And I mean, it got really cold and rainy the closer we got to the coast. And setting up your tent in the rain and knowing that it's going to be wet inside, or, you know, setting it up and it's blowing all over the place while you're trying to get it up, it can be intimidating to people, and it can also be frustrating. And even though we were there to help each other out, there were definitely times where you just had to do things yourself. And I learned that I actually have a pretty good attitude in those situations, and I'm able to bring others up as well, too, and sometimes even make it fun. So there were a lot of times I'd be out there, just people were laughing, were trying to set things up. And I mean, yeah, you could look at it as being dire or, you know, rugged or just not fun, but it doesn't have to be that way either. So I liked those tests because I got to learn that about myself again.
And you guys all chose to be out there too. So there is that aspect of it. Like, if you're not trying to make the most of it, like, what, you know, sometimes you can't help it, but like, what are you doing out there? You know?
Yeah. Some people had been planning that trip for 50 years.
What? Oh, really?
Yeah. You actually should interview them. There is a, the woman and the couple, but there is a couple who, they both met at Denali National Park when they were working there. Cool. And yeah, they were there, and we celebrated his 77th birthday while we were on the LSEC. But yeah, I mean, everything from 50 years all the way down to like, I mean, no one except me, who I feel so humbled to have gotten to go on the trip at the last minute, no one had been planning that trip for less than 6 months. Wow. And so, yeah, everyone chose to be there. And if you don't make the most of it, then why put all that effort in?
Yeah.
Why do you think we create mental blocks at times to trying new things, or especially trying new things in the outdoors?
I think for me anyway, I think for me sometimes it's safer to create the mental block because then you can give yourself an out for not trying. And we like to stick with what we know and what we're good at. And it's easy to avoid putting ourselves in uncomfortable situations. No one likes to be uncomfortable. That's just the nature of things. I think people who say they like to be uncomfortable are looking past that and recognizing that it leads to growth and all of that. But as humans, we'd like to be comfortable, relatively speaking, unless there's some type of a reward. And I think that being outdoors is that reward. But the mental block comes in from a lot of places. The lack of the comfort is one of them, but I think another one is, at least for me, like, I don't want to show up and not be prepared, or let myself down or let other people down, especially with a group. I knew that, I mean, if you show up and you're not prepared, or if you're not able to keep up, that impacts people on a personal level with their enjoyment of an experience. And it also can impact people from a safety perspective.
Yeah.
And so I'm keenly aware of that when I go outdoors, that if I'm not prepared, whether that's my physical ability or my experience or my gear or what have you, that could really be a problem. And so, so I usually show up overprepared, and that's good. Like, that's a good practice to make, but I think it's easy to get in my head too and say, oh, I have to be like twice as prepared as anybody else just in order to go out there. And also I'm like younger, and a lot of the people who are going are probably going to be men. And so I have to like be a tough female and go out there and really prove myself. And I think that's when it starts to become unhealthy. It's good to show up and feel prepared. It's good to be able to contribute. That's great, but you don't need to take it to the place of, I really have to just show people and, you know, it has to be this much better than everyone else in order to even be able to say I'm worthy of going on a trip like this or trying something new. That's doing yourself a disservice because you're going to grow and adapt into whatever situation if you show up with the right attitude.
Thank you to Locke Hughes and Laura Hughes for sharing their new experiences with me. You can find Locke at Locke It Down on Instagram. That's Locke with an E and LockeHughes.com. You can find Laura's personal Instagram at How She Views It and listen to Women on the Road wherever you find podcasts. Thank you to Winter Park Resort and Sir Coney Brown for the opportunity to try downhill mountain biking for the first time, not to mention trail running, rafting, and yoga. It was so cool to learn what you can do on a big Colorado ski mountain in the summer. And the guides were patient and kind, which made for a fun learning experience. Thank you to our sponsors, Escape Camper Vans and Victorious. We'll list their discount codes on the episode landing page and the show notes. If you enjoy this show, please take the time to review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. It'll help other people find us. Even better, share She Explores with a friend. We're on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, so if you share it, tag us. I love seeing it. Music is by Jason Shaw and Kay Angle via the Free Music Archive. Music is also by Marie. Until next week, have fun out there.